Hi guys, I'm Andrew Davidson with AsPerMyAbility.com. Once upon a time, there was a beautiful girl with shoulder-length hair, bright eyes, and pale complexion. Being born fourth to a family of six, the beautiful girl grew up caring for her brothers and sisters. Her mother and father never divorced. In fact, despite having enough children to start a hockey team, mother and father were quite affluent. The beautiful girl was raised Lutheran. She remained loyal to her faith and attended Lutheran services and church events religiously, pun intended. At the age of seven, she began elementary school and lived a carefree childhood. She smiled and laughed a lot and enjoyed being outside on sunny trips with her family. In her early years, she was fond of white sundresses and pearl necklaces. The beautiful girl enjoyed her innocence. It was a time of sunshine, cherry lollipops, and colorful rainbows everywhere. However, high school would prove to be a difficult task for the girl. At the age of 12, the beautiful girl began attending an all-girls school. In high school, the girl suffered the emotional slings and arrows quite common within the teenage years. Her enthusiasm gave way to sadness. She could not establish any friends at her new school. To deal with her dismal situation, the beautiful girl became an avid reader, always with her nose in a book and her head in the clouds. She studied such subjects such as philosophy and theology. Because of this obsession, the girl's grades plummeted, and she barely graduated high school. Well, once high school was out of the way, her and her older brother attended college, where she studied biology and philosophy. Now, contrary to high school, college wasn't a lonely experience. The beautiful girl and her brother found other like-minded individuals that enjoyed philosophy, literature, art, music, and theology. The group would take outings to hike, climb, ski, or go swimming. Other times, they would attend music festivals, plays, and lectures. The beautiful girl, who loved animals and flowers, was smiling again. Unfortunately, the college system was changing. Universities implemented far, far too much political indoctrination. This did not settle well with the free-thinking mind of the beautiful girl and her friends. To challenge the system was to challenge the government. In response, the collection of friends formed a group entitled the White Rose. The White Rose movement created content and writings encouraging students towards nonviolent resistance of the insufferable indoctrination on students by their academic institution. The girl and her White Rose movement used philosophy and theology to argue against the ever-changing political movement by encouraging passive resistance through intellectual arguments. The beautiful girl, our lovely protagonist, and White Rose members were rounded up by government officials. In fact, because she was only a girl, she wasn't touched by the officials. They wanted just the boys. However, in an act of heroism, the beautiful girl with the shoulder-length hair, bright eyes, and pale face threw herself at the officials and assumed full responsibility as the sole operative of the White Rose movement. Instead of going free, our beautiful girl was arrested for treason, sent to trial, and executed by guillotine 4 days later. The girl in this story is Sophia Magdalena Scholl. Sophia Scholl was born in Germany during the spring of 1921. By the time Scholl entered secondary school, the country gave way to complete absolute Nazi madness. The basic tenets of education took a backseat to Nazi indoctrination and propaganda tactics. Scholl disliked what the schools were teaching. To successfully graduate secondary school, Scholl wrote an essay entitled "The Hand That Moved the Cradle Moved the World," loosely inspired by the William Ross Wallace poem. Scholl, along with her older brother, Hans, Willy Graf, Christoph Probst, and Alexander Schmorl, were core members of the White Rose organization. As members, they created pamphlets encouraging nonviolent, non-aggressive tactics to resist the Nazi machine. Not only did the Scholls succeed in building the masses up to resist the Nazis, but they did so without harming a single person. They never invoked violence and never threatened those they spoke about. One day, while distributing White Rose pamphlets at the University of Munich, our lovely gang ran into the Gestapo, the secret police. The janitor saw the kids poking around campus and alerted the Gestapo. If Scooby-Doo has taught us anything, it's that you can never, ever trust the janitor. Although the Gestapo focused on grabbing the men, Scholl confessed and assumed full responsibility. They were arrested on February 18th, 1943. Trial took place on February 21st of the same year, where Judge Roland Freisler forbid testimonies from the defense. Wait, hold up, time out. Can you imagine being arrested for writing pamphlets that encourage people to distrust the system of the government by doing no harm or wishing zero ill will upon anyone? Then, to make matters worse, you're charged with treason and revoked any right to provide your own testimony in your defense. In today's day and age, where Americans are given a legal right to defend themselves against charges, or if outside the courtroom, utilize social media platforms such as Twitter to call upon sympathetic ears, Scholl's story is part and parcel to the tight fascist grip slowly squeezing the country into anorexic, brainwashed Nazi zombies. The next day, February 22nd, 1943, Sophia Magdalena Scholl was convicted of treason and executed a few hours later. She was 19 years old. Scholl's final words were said to herself, overheard by a prison official walking her to the guillotine. "Such a fine, sunny day, and I have to go. But how many are dying on the battlefield in these days? How many young, promising lives? What does my death matter if, through us, thousands of people are awakened and stirred to action?" Hans Scholl, the older brother, and Christoph Probst were beheaded right behind Sophia. Willy Graf, also arrested for treason, suffered the sting of the guillotine on October 12, 1943. Alexander Schmorell, also executed by guillotine on July 13, 1943. Graf and Schmorell were the oldest of the White Rose executions, reaching the ripe old age of 25. Keeping with history, but turning to Hollywood, Valkyrie, directed by Bryan Singer of X-Men directorial fame and starring Tom Cruise as Klaus von Stauffenberg, tells the story of the July 20th, 1944 plot to assassinate Adolf Hitler, a man who literally needs no introduction. Despite Cruise's lackluster performance and transient German accent, I highly recommend Valkyrie. Operation Valkyrie was an incredibly thought-out and detailed assassination attempt. But, as they say, more moving parts, more broken pieces. The plan was for Klaus von Stauffenberg to attend a military meeting with a bomb in his briefcase, stand next to Hitler, get called away by an important incoming telephone call, and hit the road ASAP before the bomb triggers. Bombs didn't have digital timers back then, so it was a crapshoot if the bomb would explode early, late, or never at all. I won't spoil the rest for you, but then again, if you know anything about history, you already know how it ends. Did you know that every single one of Adolf Hitler's girlfriends committed suicide? Yeah, even his wife, Eva Braun, took cyanide capsules. Geez, it makes me feel like less of a douchebag boyfriend. Furthermore, how in the bloody hell did Adolf Hitler, the man accused of mass genocide and crimes against humanity, able to get married? And yet I'm still single. If you are listening to this and you're a woman, riddle me this, Batman. If you had to choose only one person to get married to, Hitler or myself, who would you choose? Go. Also, did you know that there were 42 documented assassination attempts made on Hitler? And I thought I had it bad. I've only had a couple of real intense and serious stalkers, although they prefer to be called boundary-challenged individuals, but nothing to groan about in the shadow of 42 assassination attempts. Is this what my father meant when he instructed me as a teenager how life is all about perspective? Anyway, in Black Orchestra, players form their own group of anti-Nazi Germans, and yes, Sophia Scholl and Klaus von Stauffenberg are playable character roles. Working together to assassinate Hitler before every player is exposed and thrown in jail, do not collect $200, or time runs out and the war is over, akin to other games, Black Orchestra is a cooperative game. One does not go rogue and simply walk into the Reichstag armed to the teeth. To get to Hitler, just like Stauffenberg, you'll need help from your friends. Not only does Black Orchestra look amazing, but it's incredibly thematic. The artwork, components, and pieces are all fantastic. The event cards represent historical events as war raged on, spilling blood between the Axis and Allied powers. The game challenges its players with balance. To become trustworthy enough to get close to Hitler, you'll need to be highly motivated and not suspicious. Trust me, it's not as easy as it sounds. Sometimes you have to give the appearance of being a good little Nazi and help further their cause. As a reward, your suspicion level drops. See? Balance. Black Orchestra, as with 42 documented assassination attempts, requires a myriad of conditions to be perfect to successfully execute a death plot and live to tell the tale. Will you use your tale for good or evil? Personally, I would use it exclusively to get free drinks and impress women. Oh, so your last boyfriend never left his dark and moldy basement because he was obsessed with socializing with his buddies on World of Warcraft? Wow, sounds terrible. Hey, let me tell you about this one time I killed Hitler.